Our series of studies during this Advent season, beginning back December, the first Sunday in December, has been that God knows your name. And today we come to our final lesson in this series of messages on God knowing your name. And I invite you to open to John chapter 10, as we consider the theme today. I'll read the text, which underscores the fact that God knows your name too. John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So ends the reading of Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. The Advent season is coming to a close, though we're 5 days into Christmas, ending on January the 6th. Golden rings. I hadn't thought about that, but that would be the appropriate gift for today, wouldn't it? And we don't even have donut holes. And why I think of it, you inspired me by your little illustration here. I was thinking if you can work on flipping a water bottle, that I might do some axe throwing for talent, no talent. I just need a volunteer. Lord, help us. Don't listen to that voice. We're in the Advent season, and we're coming to the end of it, and we've seen that God knew the names of his people. Zechariah, the angel, called him by name, saying, "Fear not." And true to his name, he was remembered by the Lord. God answered his prayer. The angel came to Mary and called her by name, Mary, meaning their rebellion. And the truth of the gospel is that the Savior came, was born of the Virgin Mary to deal with the problem of sin, to deal with the problem of our rebellion. And Joseph, his name meant the Lord has added, and the Lord added to his confusion understanding, and to his need for a Savior, a son, whom he would call Jesus. And we've observed this past week that the name Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, or the Lord saves, was a name known by and chosen by God the Father for his Son, born to the Virgin Mary, because he, Jesus, would save his people from their sin. Today, as we come to the text, I would have you know that this Jesus knows you. And he summons you by name to follow him into the fullness of life. That's the sentence, the sermon in a sentence, the proposition for today. That Jesus knows you and summons you by name to follow him into the fullness of life. Notice the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes that people might have life and have it abundantly. So here's the point. If you and I are going to follow Jesus and follow him into the fullness of life, we must first of all recognize and then trust and finally obey his voice. Recognize, trust, and obey his voice. And so we come to the first of these. That is, Jesus summons us, as Jesus would summon us by name to follow him. We can only follow him if we recognize his voice. Recognize his voice. The text says in John 10 at verse 3, these words. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He summons them. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now observe that in the NIV, in verse 4, it's stated that the sheep know his voice, that the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And then in verse 5, that they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Now the NIV translates the same verb two different ways. Because truthfully, the verb in verse 4 is the same as the verb in verse 5. They know his voice could be translated, they recognize his voice. It could be said, they don't know the stranger's voice. It's the same verb, oida. But this verb has a range of meaning. The oida can mean to know and possess information. It can mean to know how to do something. It can mean to understand or comprehend the significance of something. It can mean to remember, to know from memory, to recall something that has been stored in the mind. In the context of these verses, Jesus uses the verb oida to describe how the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd, but the voice of the stranger, they don't. There is memory and recall for the familiar voice. There's some understanding of the significance. Oh, if I follow this voice, there's going to be food. You know, that's the sheep mindset. Bah! So, let me give you some comparisons from life. Animals recognize the voice of their masters. Now, we might not be shepherds and not recognize that sheep will follow us because they think there's food. But animals recognize the voice of their masters. Pets recognize the voice of their owners. I can remember as a young boy stepping outside the door at 32 South Main Street and calling out, "Kitty, kitty, 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 kitty." Now, not every cat in the neighborhood came to the back door. There was one cat that would come if he was ready. But only one cat. A tiger-striped cat named Sydney would come if he thought there was food. Pets recognize the voice of their owners. An infant recognizes the voice of his mother. An infant will turn her head and look toward the familiar voice. A child on a playground or deeply involved in a video game might respond to mom calling by name. You have to go through several ozone layers. You know, I could, if I was outside playing and engaged in something very seriously, like listening to the Yankee broadcast on my AM radio. Some of you may have to Google that to find out what it is. And my mom just said, "Tom, it's time to eat." That may or may not do anything for me, depending on how many Snicker bars I'd eaten. But when my mother called out, "Thomas Evan Aubrey," she had my full attention. If I didn't respond, it was trouble. And it might be trouble already. We recognize familiar voices. Animals recognize the voice of their masters. Pets recognize the voice of their owners. Infants, the voice of their mothers. Children, the voice of a parent. There are two observations that I would have you note from these verses. First of all, there are voices which seek our attention that are not from God. The voices of strangers should remain the voices of strangers. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" Now, when you read this passage, you should pause and ponder this. It's not stated in Scripture, but why in the world was woman listening to the voice of the snake? Because it was not a stranger's voice to her, or to man for that matter. They had been listening to the voice of the serpent. When whose voice should they have been listening to? The voice of God. The fact that there was no sense of discomfort concerning the serpent speaking to woman is troubling. It means that this was a familiar voice. And sometimes we allow God's voice to become the voice of a stranger, and the serpent's voice, the voice that's familiar. We need to become practiced at recognizing the voice of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the second observation from those verses. Yes, Jesus knows you and he summons you by name to follow him into the fullness of life. And not only does he want you to recognize his voice, he wants you to trust his voice. He wants you to trust his voice. The text reads at verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You see, the voice of the stranger is not to be trusted. We, as parents of young children and grandparents of young children, want our children to know that they're not to talk to strangers. So we put it in our children's literature, even in the story of Pooh. There's the don't talk to strangers, Pooh. And so Piglet is giving Pooh a warning. Don't talk to strangers. Well, because we know that there are strangers who lurk and want to have more than conversations with children. But a better warning is this. Don't listen to strangers. And this is one of the posters from the Keep Calm series of posters. By the way, the Keep Calm posters originated in 1939 after the outbreak of World War II by the British Ministry of Information. What was the first one? Keep Calm and Carry On? Yeah, Keep Calm and Carry On. That was the first one. And now they have a whole series of them. You can Google them. But one of them, it targets this whole issue about strangers. But their warning is better than ours. Our common warning is don't talk to strangers. But if we talk, if the warning is don't talk to strangers, we probably have already listened to them. We're just not going to reply. We're supposed to run. The British Ministry of Information says, don't listen to strangers. If a stranger approaches you, don't even listen to them. And that's the warning of Scripture. Don't listen to strangers, because a stranger is not to be trusted. We have in the text, in verse 5, the stranger and identified as a thief and a robber. And in verse 10, as the wolf. Both are enemies of the sheep. Both represent the enemy of our souls. Satan the accuser, the serpent of old, who would deceive our adversary, the devil. You can write this down and look it up later to confirm it. But in Revelation 12, verse 9, the great dragon who is hurled down from heaven is identified as the ancient serpent called the devil, Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Catch that metaphor. What does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd leads us into good pasture, into green pasture. He leads us into life and life to the full. Whereas the adversary, our devil, would lead the whole world astray. In Revelation 12, 17, God identifies the dragon, the devil, our adversary, as the one who is our enemy personally. Because after he failed to thwart the coming of Messiah, after he failed to end of the Messiah's life in Bethlehem of Judea by the act of violence perpetrated by King Herod. He went off to wage war, says Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, against the rest of Israel's offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and hold fast to the testimony of Jesus. That's you and I. That's Christ followers. Satan is a thief. He is intent, according to John 4, on stealing God's word from hearing ears. He would render God's word just noise, old, irrelevant, incomprehensible, nonsensical, not worthy of consideration. As for a woman in the garden who found the enemy's words, the serpent's words, more appealing, wiser, more contemporary, more fitting with my personal need for actualization. Satan is the stranger in the text. Our problem is that the voice of the stranger has become familiar and numerous. And Satan doesn't present himself as a devil with horns and a pointed fork. We have competing voices that we hear. The counsel of the evil one can be heard through the lips of co-workers, family members, friends, who speak the wisdom of this world into your life rather than the counsel of God. It doesn't have to be a complete lie or falsehood. It just is a distortion of the wisdom of God with a worldly bent. We're more likely to listen to the voice of well-meaning, unbelieving friends, advisors, counselors, lawyers than pastors. When we face a spouse who has left us, we're more likely to listen to the voice of friends who say, leave the bum. Or counselors, you should get a divorce. Or lawyers, pay me $1,500 and I'll take care of this problem. We have competing voices. And drowned out in it is the voice of God. We are more likely to have our worldview shaped by the opinions of cable news anchors than the Word of God. Those are just a couple of examples. Our problem is this. We like the counsel of this world because it fits more with our plan. But we're sheep. And sheep are prone to wander. The voice of Jesus is the voice that is to be trusted. And in this text, there are six reasons identified for trusting the voice of Jesus. Look at verse 14. He knows you. He says, I know my sheep. And you say, well, how well does he know me? Well, hey, turn over to Psalm 139, which was part of Pastor Scott's prayer earlier in the service. In Psalm 139, we find how well God knows us. The psalmist says, you've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before there's a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. Whoa. He knows our words probably before we think them. He knows us. That's good news, by the way. We'll see in a minute. Secondly, he comes for you. Verse 2, he enters by the gate for his sheep. Verse 14, he's going to come because there are sheep of another flock, another fold that he wants as his own, and he's going to go after them and bring them in too. What's that about? Back in verse 2, when he enters the sheepfold, that is the nation Israel. That's the Hebrew people. And he knows who are his own among the Hebrew people. When we get to verse 14 and he says, there are other sheep not of this fold that are mine as well, and I'm going to bring them in. He's talking about going into the nations among all peoples, all four corners of the globe. Among the Goyim, among the Gentiles, and bringing men and women of every nation, tongue, tribe, and people to a saving knowledge of Jesus, that they might be counted as his. He comes for you. And he cares for you. The implication of verse 13 is that, you know, the hired hand doesn't care for you, but the good shepherd cares for you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, verse 11, lays down his life for the sheep. He's not going to run in the face of danger. He's going to sacrifice his life if need be for the life of the sheep. And that's what Jesus did when he died on a cross for our sin. Because going back to that, he knows us. In Psalm 103, it says he knows our weakness. He knows our sin. And he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Psalm 103, he does not treat us as our sins deserve. But he's patient toward us. He's patient toward us, not willing that we perish, but that we would come to repentance. 1 Peter 3:9. And so he lays down his life for the sheep. And he will not abandon you. When he calls you by name, he summons you. It's Jesus that knows you because he's your maker. And he has willingly laid down his life to be your redeemer. And he summons you to follow him so that he might be the one that restores your broken life and makes all things new. To follow Jesus, you must recognize his voice and then trust his voice. And finally, if you're going to respond to Jesus who knows and summons you by name, and enjoy the fullness of life that he gives for you, you need to obey his voice. You need to obey his voice. In John 10, at verse 16, the text reads, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Catch this. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The word there to listen, akouo, no quiz. But it's essential that you understand. The word there to listen is not merely hearing. It implies the acceptance of what has been spoken as true. And then it implies that we respond to it appropriately. So akouo, to listen, means to listen with acceptance and listen with a preparedness to respond appropriately. I'm going to give you two examples from Scripture where this verse, this word is used, and you'll understand that it means accepting what is spoken and responding to it appropriately. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to confront a brother or a sister who is in sin. And he says, go to them. Point out their fault just between the two of you. You know, don't bring a crowd, but just between the two of you, because of the relationship you have with them, go to them. And just between the two of you, speak to them. Point out to them where they have gone wrong. If they listen to you, akouo, then you will have won them. In other words, if they listen and accept what you say as true and respond appropriately by acknowledging their sin and confessing their sin and turning from their sin, they've listened. And you've won them. Second place where the word is used, the verb, they will listen, is in Acts 28 at verse 28 when Paul is explaining God's plan. And he says, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles. Because there are other sheep of another fold. He doesn't say that there. In Acts 28, verse 28, Paul says, I want you to know that God's salvation is sent to the Gentiles. And then he makes this declarative statement, and they will listen. Not meaning that they will consider what you have to say and carefully listen and nod and understand what you've said. No, that they would listen and accept the message as true and respond appropriately with saving faith. That's the sense of the word listen. In Acts 28, verse 28, in Matthew 18, verse 15, in John 10, verse 16, when Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen, I must bring them also, and they will listen. They will accept what I have to say as true and will respond to it appropriately. You see? To follow Jesus, we not only need to recognize his voice and trust his word, we need to obey his voice. Hear his word and respond to it appropriately. Jesus teaches in the Gospels that wisdom is hearing his word and putting it into practice. Applying it to our everyday life. That's underscored in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 26, and at Luke 6, verses 47 through 49. That's wisdom. Hearing God's word and responding appropriately. I love our statement of faith because under the scriptures it concludes with a call for us to hear God's word, accept it as true, and respond to it appropriately. Our statement of faith says that we're to believe all that God's word teaches. We're to trust all that God's word promises and obey all that God's word requires. At the close of 2018, and on the threshold of the new year, I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to enter into the new year with a resolve that you would recognize Jesus' voice. That you would recognize in the Word of God, the voice of God. That God's Spirit would make it clear to you. not only to accept what is true, but then to respond to it appropriately and obey what God's word says. Now, we can only become skilled in listening if we practice listening. That's what, you know, any married couples in the room? None. Okay. We're going to have a service to talk about some of you living with each other, not in the state of marriage. Tom Riley, you have a Bible study on marriage. What's one of the things that couples need to work on? Communication. And communication is talking and listening. Listening so that we understand. It's a skill, isn't it? And there are exercises we can take to practice listening to our spouse. We want to know more, see Tom and Sue. But if we're going to enter the new year and recognize and trust and respond to God's word appropriately, then we need to become practiced in listening. And I'm going to recommend two options for you to pursue along this line. Two approaches, both to reading God's word in the coming year. Option A is the sermon-based weekly reading plan. Now, every week, Sunday evening, Monday morning, I send out an email with a reading plan for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is the one that was for last week. Friday, you would have read Psalm 139. And so this option, what does that provide for you? It provides you Bible readings for 5 days out of seven, Monday through Friday. And those readings will remind you and reinforce the message that you heard on Sunday. So this next week's readings will undergird what was shared with you from John 10 today, a series of readings. So if you want to reinforce and remind yourself of what the message was from Sunday on listening to God's word, then option A is a great option. Because over the course of the year, your weekly Bible reading will be directly connected to the scripture that we've been teaching from on Sunday. And I'd encourage you then in your daily reading to believe what God's word teaches, trust what it promises, and obey what it requires. That's one option. That's option A. Option B is this. It's the Discipleship Journal Bible Reading Plan. And up on the table here, I have copies of it. I'm holding one in my hand. And when I open it to January, I see what you see on the screen. I find four columns. And in January, on the 1st of January, if I was to follow the Bible reading plan, and going to read all four readings so that I would read through the whole Bible in a year, I would read Matthew 1, 1 through 17, Acts 1, 1 through 11, Psalm 1, and Genesis 1 and 2. Four readings for January 1st, and if you read all four every day, then you'll have read through the Bible in a year. And it's mapped out for you. I love it. And there are check boxes too, so you can check it off as you go. Know what you've done. But what I also like about this plan is that when you say, well, reading through the whole Bible in a year, that's scary. I don't know if I could do that. I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. Well, then you could choose one column. You could choose the first column that begins with Matthew 1, and if you read column 1 every day for the year, you'll have read through all of the Gospels in a year. if you read through the first column and the second column, you will have read through the whole New Testament in a year. If you read the first column and the third column, you'll have read through all of the Gospels in the year, and you will have read through all of the wisdom literature, Psalms and Proverbs and Song of Solomon and Lamentations and Job. So you can use it and pick and choose. There are options for you on this. And the other thing I like about it is that there are only 25 readings in a month. Huh. Did they forget something? How many days are there in January? There you go. You have bonus days. Bonus days for catching up. Or if you're really a planner, you can renumber them and you say, well, I'm just going to take every Monday off because you know how Mondays are. Or every Wednesday off. And you have those free days built in. So I'm going to ask you right now to take your connection card. And take out your connection card out of the bulletin. And if God has put it on your heart to become skilled at reading God's word, actually, I should rephrase that, become skilled at listening to God's voice by regularly reading the Bible, which is God's word, then I want you to make sure your name is on there and your email address is on there or of some way to contact you to encourage you along the way. And then somewhere on the front of the card or the back of the card, I want you to say, I want to follow plan A. I'm going to receive the sermon-based weekly reading plan by email from Pastor Tom because I want to read the scriptures that keep me in the theme for the week. Or if you want to take option B and use the Discipleship Journal Bible reading plan in any one of a number of ways, then you say, I'm going to do option B. So put your name, email address, and then either option A or option B. And in a moment, we're going to continue to worship in song, and during the first song, I would like you to come forward. If you've made a commitment to either option A or option B, I want you to come forward and put your card, your connection card on the table. And if you chose option B, the Discipleship Journal Bible reading plan, I have 100 copies on the table. And the first 100 can take them. And if you didn't get one, then whine, okay? So that we can get you one. And I will send out, included in my email for the reading, I'll make sure that the first week is covered. And they can come in 2 days by Amazon. So there we go. So you have your name, your email address, and option A or option B if you're going to commit and accept the challenge of being skilled at listening to God's voice by regularly reading God's word in 2019. I'd invite you to stand with me. We're going to pray this prayer as our prayer in closing and allow the worship team to come to the platform and lead us in song. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, giver of every good and perfect gift, we are in awe of you. You made us and know us. You know our weaknesses and our propensity for sin, yet you do not treat us as our sins deserve, but patiently pursue and wait for us to recognize, trust, and obey your voice. Train our ears to recognize your voice. Train our hearts to trust your word, Train our feet to respond in obedience to your command. In Jesus' name, amen.